Amado also said that the effort to flip the election in Trump's favor appeared to be coordinated. The fake documents all match exactly, Amado observed. Same formatting, same font, same spacing, almost the exact same wording, all of them. Later in the program, the MSNBC host connected these documents to a draft letter written by a Department of Justice official loyal to Trump named Jeffrey Clark, which explicitly describes these forged slates of electors from multiple states as part of a plan to keep the former president in office. It was unusual, Meadows said, that Clark was aware that these states had made these types of moves before he suggested the idea to Trump and his allies. Meadows asked, how did Clark know that 2 weeks earlier, Republicans in at least five states had in fact created these forged electoral documents? Did the Trump Justice Department know about it because they helped Republicans in those states do it? We don't know, but somebody helped them do it, because they all filed the exact same documents. Other documents unearthed in the past year have detailed similar strategies designed by Trump allies to overturn the election. In one such document, Trump's former lawyer, John Eastman, devised a six-point plan that relied upon multiple slates of electors being used to create confusion in the Electoral College certification process. Former Vice President Mike Pence could then use that confusion to force a vote in the House of Representatives, where Trump would then win the presidency, Eastman said. Weeks after the election was called for Biden, Trump aide Stephen Miller also said in December that the campaign's next step to challenging the election's outcome was to submit false certificates of ascertainment, stating that Trump won in states where he didn't. An alternate slate of electors in contested states is going to vote, and we are going to send those results up to Congress, Miller said at the time, adding, this will ensure that all of our legal remedies remain open. That means if we win these cases in the courts, that we can direct the alternate slate of electors be certified.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Start.
Movement.
Speak.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamadi.
Islamadi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
In the name of God, the most compassionate, the merciful. This is Youth Station, and I'm glad to be here. Well, we have my friend.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa salam alaikum.
I'm Zainab, Sister Asma's co-host, and I'm totally happy to be with you guys today.
And today we are going to talk about the pros and cons of being silent.
Okay, pros and cons of being silent. If you're on a radio show, all cons. Don't be silent, because that's totally defeats the objective of being on a radio show or in a podcast or something, or if you're at an interview, please talk.
So are you a silent person?
I'm an introvert.
Yes.
I'm an introvert, so sometimes I feel it depends on the circumstance.
Exactly. It depends.
Right.
And the people around me and the society I'm in.
And the topic of the discussion.
If I have no interest in it, yes.
I'm not going to bother inserting any opinion.
I'm not going to open a box of worms. That's better.
Yes. Let's not do that. Let's not get into that at all.
Let's be away with the problems.
If I'm among friends.
Yes.
Like my own.
I'm totally extrovert.
Yeah. Bubbly, chirpy, talking.
Wearing no masks.
Exactly. Making jokes and jests and talking about everything and anything.
Yes.
And goofing around.
Exactly.
And like if you're really in your comfort zone.
That's why being with friends means wearing no masks.
Yes. And that's why it's so wonderful.
Still, I don't know if I'm extrovert or introvert.
You're definitely
an
introvert.
Based on what I have with my friends.
No, you're definitely an introvert. Introverts are those that only vibe with their people.
Yes.
Extroverts are those that vibe with people.
Everyone.
Just if you're a person, yes. I'm a vibe with you.
Yes.
More power to them. I'm proud of extroverts for being able to do that.
Sometimes I envy them. They can speak everything softly.
Yay. Exactly. Yeah, open the conversation with everyone and anyone. But being around an extrovert makes me really anxious.
Yes.
And I find during those situations, silence is the best treat. Not that that person talks to me and I totally ignore them, look at the air. But, like, I don't necessarily try to push myself. Before, when I was younger, I would try to push myself to engage in whatever small talk the extrovert is trying to initiate. I would always find myself saying the wrong things because I can't function in that sort of setting.
Yes, exactly.
I'd find myself regretting what I said later on. I'd find myself talking about things that sort of weren't in the limitations of my boundaries.
And every time worried about not saying things in the right time.
Yes. And I'd stay up at night overthinking it.
Yes, exactly.
Why did I say that? Yes. Should I have said that? Should I have said something else? Do they think I'm weird?
I shouldn't have said that.
Yes. That's the worst feeling in the world.
Yes, that
and
is.
And if you practice silence long enough, you won't have that problem anymore.
Yes.
Just keep quiet, man.
It's me. I don't speak.
Exactly. As I got older, I felt that, look, I don't necessarily have to please everyone.
Exactly. Right? That's the point. As we grow older, we understand this fact that we're not here to please everyone.
No, because we're not a jar of Nutella, darling. When I realized that it's not my job to please everyone.
Yes.
And that I am allowed to set boundaries. And if I feel like this conversation, it's not necessarily violating anything. Right?
Exactly. You're not breaking any rules.
Yeah. And they're not violating anything either. But this is just not my style. I can't talk to you like this. So I just keep silent. I nod and smile.
Mm-hmm. All breathing beings are different from each other. It's like the fingerprints. No one is like the other one. We're all different, so we have to embrace that.
Exactly.
Yes, but have you ever been sorry for not speaking?
No. I've found that that's always...
Because as a silent person, sometimes I eat myself a lot.
Why?
I say, why you didn't speak at the moment?
What would you have gained had you spoken?
Speaking of my rights.
Uh-huh, of your rights, then yes.
Yes.
Well, actually, no. I mean, I know that there are a lot of ahadith telling us to claim our rights, stand up for what's right, stand up for justice. If it's someone else's right and I was quiet about it, I might feel a little guilty.
Yes.
But if it was my own right, I always justified by saying, you know what, I can't be bothered with drama. Who cares? You know, just go. Just get out of my face. I don't even want my right anymore. You know what I mean?
As I told you, yes, I'm like that. I say to myself that, okay, I don't wish to open a box of worms. Mm. I don't wish to face those difficulties.
And conflict.
It's better to be
confrontation.
Silent. Yes, exactly. It's better to stay silent rather than starting a long discussion that's going to be a never-ending discussion.
Definitely.
So that's why I bring about drama. Yes, drama.
I can't stand drama.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, like in expressing myself, I can be over dramatic and I can be like all over the place when I'm talking.
Because even if I open up my chapters, that will going to be a long novel. A lot of stories would come out of it.
Exactly.
So it's better to stay silent.
Yeah, just keep to yourself. People don't need to know. The confrontation thing is what really...
The hurting part is the confrontation.
Yeah,
part.
I can't do it. I just can't. Let's talk about moments where most probably you should not stay silent.
Yes.
Aside from interviews. Yeah. And when you're like with a child.
Yes, when you're with a child.
Don't be quiet around the poor child.
No, they won't let you be silent.
True.
They would bring you into speaking.
Yes, yeah. They would ask so many questions.
Yes, of
that,
course.
Like, at some point, you'd be like, you know what? Fine.
Questions that are good for introverts.
Yes, fine. Let's talk about that three-eyed worm that you saw in the cartoon the other day.
Yes, exactly.
I think we've already mentioned standing up for someone's rights, our own rights, for justice.
Yes, justice.
I think there's a hadith that tells us that if we are silent in the face of oppression, we have a share of that one, that oppression that's been carried out.
We have a share.
Because it's sort of like, I didn't support that person, but I didn't stop them either.
Yes, true.
And it's sort of like allowing them.
And it happens every day. It's not something like it should happen like a revolution. No, in everyday life, we face it. Mm-hmm. Many times we cannot face the people who are tyrant in a small zones, in a smaller scopes.
Yeah, yeah.
And we cannot stand for our rights, but we have to.
That's why maybe the concept of Amr bil Ma'ruf wa Nahy an al Munkar, enjoining the bad and forbidding the evil, is so important in Islam.
Yes.
And I feel like, you know, standing up for justice, like when you said everyday life.
Yes.
I thought about people who litter, people who throw their trash on the street out of the car window. That's injustice.
Yes, injustice.
And if you just honk your horn and just give them like the dirty death glare.
Yes.
Dude, what are you doing? Or like, look at them, and then look at the trash can, and then look at them really
intensely.
But they
do not notice that, really.
But they will feel a little shameful.
Yes, maybe a little shame.
And if the society constantly does that to someone who still has the barbaric habit
of littering.
The nice
word to use for them.
Right? After a while, they'll pull themselves together. And the same goes to Amr bin Ma'ruf wa Nahy an
al-Munkar. That needs everyone to react against them, not only one person.
Definitely.
We need to be all the same. Mm-hmm. We have to react.
We need to be united.
Yes, we need to be united, exactly.
United on on an ideology, on a certain value.
Yes.
No one is going to argue with the fact that littering is bad.
Exactly.
Even that savage who feels like, well, the cleaning person will just come pick it up. And then you explain it to them. That just because it's their job doesn't mean that you shouldn't be doing your job.
Exactly. That's the most awful way of thinking, to say that because it's someone else's job, then I don't have to care. We are all responsible. Okay, everyone who's been listening to us, stay tuned. We're going to have a break and then we'll catch up together. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Listeners of Youth Station, we're back and we're going to follow the discussion. We are all having some duties in this society for the environment, for the people around us, for the future upbringings.
Yes. And it's these little things that build up to it. Like, these little acts of being indifferent toward oppression and being silent toward them that leads to something like, I don't know,
a greater loss.
Yes, to genocides and massacres.
Exactly.
And full-blown wars.
I think responsibility in everything does matter.
Totally. Yes, yes. Feeling a sense of responsibility. And I was reading this really interesting quote in a book. It said, Something may not be your fault,
yes.
but it's still your responsibility. And the example, author was mentioning was that you wake up one morning and you find an infant on your doorstep.
Yes.
Right? Someone just left him there in the middle of the night. And you open the door to go grab the newspaper, and then you see this little basket, and there's this helpless little infant baby inside of it.
Yes.
Are you just going to leave the baby there on the doorframe?
Of course not.
It wasn't your fault that the baby was there, but now it is your responsibility.
From now on, you have to take
care. To react, to do whatever. Yes. Take it to the police station. Take it to the orphanage.
Yes,
make some
whatever.
Phone calls, whatever.
Just help that child.
No one's going to blame you for the child baby's existence. But now, if the baby dies because you didn't do anything about it, you're going to jail.
Yeah.
Another instance where silence is good. There are so many ahadith about this. When there's an argument... And I feel that...
No, they say leave the situation.
Yeah, just because... Or like there's a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam. He says, when you're arguing with a fool, just
leave
quiet.
Them. Yes.
Or Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, when there's a jadal, there's an argument, there's a debate. Not that debate of like when Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam debated with the Christian priests about Islam. Not that scale of debate. But when someone's just arguing
when
with you...
When you do not have any hope for that person to understand what you
just
say.
Just be quiet, even if you were right.
Yes. Most of the time, you are right, but you'd better stay silent. Because they would drag you down to their level.
Exactly.
And they won't understand what you're saying.
And you're just going to end up with mud all over yourself.
Yes.
That person doesn't care.
You'd be mocking yourself.
Yes, bringing down your own value.
Yes, exactly.
Just stay quiet, fam. It doesn't matter. You know you're right. An intelligent person who's present knows you're right.
Yes, exactly.
That's enough.
Those who know.
And that's all that matters. And trying to prove yourself to that person who's arguing with you. Look, if they were intelligent enough, they wouldn't argue to begin with.
Exactly.
Right?
They wouldn't have started it at the first point.
Exactly. They would have... pointing out their opinion, you would have pointed out your opinion, end of discussion.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
You would have agreed to disagree. But the fact that they're arguing means they're not worth the time to argue with.
Yes. And another instance for when it is not right to speak is about rumors. When you have hear a rumor, it's better to cut that line.
Yes.
You be the one who finishes the story.
Mm-hmm. Break
That's
that chain.
Better to stay silent.
Exactly.
Because speaking is not going to change anything.
No.
And you're going to be helping the people who have some evil thoughts, perhaps. So you have to stay silent there, too.
Definitely.
That's going to be better for you and the one who's been rumored. Well, that's it. We talked about silence, when it is good and when it's not good, the pros and the cons, and we understood that sometimes it's better to stay silent and know sometimes you have to speak of your own rights and of the oppressed people's right for justice, for the sake of justice. So thank you for listening to us. This was Asma and Zainab. We talked about silence. This is IRIB English Radio. Thank you for listening to us.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender and my savior, my giver and my taker, abiding in silence with patience and guidance, aware when I need you, the light when I seek you, just forgiveness, the strength in my weakness, and my love is strong.
Food for thought. dear friends, and let us present you a supplication to the Lord Most High by the Holy Prophet's Immaculate Daughter, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. O Allah, by your knowledge of the unseen and your power over creation, keep me alive so long as you know that life is good for me, and cause me to die when death is good for me.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Each year, a village in Vietnam becomes awash in red and orange as it gears up for the Lunar New Year with spectacular mass production of incense. January is usually the busiest time when villagers are dyeing, drying and whittling bamboo bark to make the fragrance sticks. Also, the scent of each batch is carefully tailored to suit the tastes of the regions where they will be sold. Most households here are involved in this ancient trade, and sales are a major part of their livelihoods. The Lunar New Year will begin on the first day of February. Around this time, sales tick up with throngs of people crowding into temples to light incense during worship. A three-year-old girl from China's Hebei province has astonished ski enthusiasts with her impressive snowboarding talent.
Hello everybody, I'm Wang Shishi. I'm 3 years old and I can snowboard now.
Kishi's skills have attracted a lot of attention as a toddler boldly tackles the slopes. She makes snowboarding look easy. Despite her tender age, she is already taming the slopes at a higher skill level than a number of other aspiring snowboarders. Her parents say she has been practicing for less than 2 weeks and her progress is startling.
I remember several years ago, I felt quite scared when I was on the advanced slope, but a mother told me that Shishi started to snowboard down right when she got to the advanced trail. She was not afraid at all.
Her parents say she quickly grasped the snowboarding movements and techniques, including some of the trickier swivels and turns. They say Shishi is enjoying the progress she is making on the slopes, and every chance she gets, she asks to go snowboarding. The young snowboarder's mum says the hobby has also brought the family closer together as they enjoy a shared passion together.
The chronic shortage of human organs has always been an issue for patients, especially those suffering from heart diseases. But now a major scientific breakthrough is in the making. U.S. surgeons have successfully implanted a heart from a genetically modified pig into a man. Doctors had said the patient, 57-year-old, was unable to have human transplant because of his health conditions. But now he is recovering from his latest surgery. The surgeons say the man is being carefully monitored to determine how the new organ is performing. But for those who want to know why pigs, here is why. Pigs are considered ideal donors because of their size and rapid growth, among other things.
You know, it is a game changer because, we will have these organs readily available. If this works, and I hope it will work, we'll have these organs available. We have the technique of genetically modifying. So if there are more tweaking required for modifying the genes, we will be able to do that, and can customize basically the heart for or the organ for the patient.
The transplant is the first of its kind in the world and follows years of research. In the U.S. alone, about 110,000 people are currently waiting for an organ transplant. Also, more than 6,000 patients dies each year before getting one. A kingdom of ice and snow. Don't be surprised. It's an international sculpture festival held annually in the Chinese city of Harbin. This year, the venue brims with sports elements in a runner-up to the 2022 Winter Olympics scheduled in Beijing. The annual Winter Festival is the largest of its kind, where sculptors spend weeks using ice and snow to create structures under a given theme. The upcoming Winter Games is the theme this year, as one can visualize giant statues of Bing Duan Duan. The adorable panda mascots are major attractions of the exhibition. The chief designer says an ice tower standing in the center of the park features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics.
In terms of the design concept, the sculpture features 24 vertical structures, referring to the 24th Winter Olympics to be held in Beijing. The spiral array form also indicated the proactive spirit of the Olympics. The free and upward effect is a vivid presentation of the Olympic flame.
The annual festival, which is being held for about 3 decades, usually attracts domestic and foreign tourists. But COVID-19 restrictions have limited the crowds over the past couple of years. Harbin is located in northeast China and receives cold winter wind from Siberia. An average winter temperature there is around minus 17 degrees Celsius.
South Koreans enjoy a wildlife refuge near the Korean Demilitarized Zone. New tours opened in November from the DMZ Crane Peace Town. Frank Smith has more in this report.
A new hiking trail and birdwatching facility opened up in South Korea this past November. DMZ Crane Peace Town created special birding cabins and guides wilderness hikes north of the 38th parallel, near the DMZ, the fortified border with North Korea. The demilitarized zone was created with the armistice that ended the Korean War back in 1953. Guard post fencing and a 2 to 4 kilometer wide buffer zone now separate North Korea and South Korea, with that no man's land becoming home to rejuvenated plant and wildlife.
Local officials see wildlife tourism as an opportunity to promote inter-Korean peace.
Cranes know no borders. That's why we're promoting the crane as a symbol of peace, as they can freely come and go between North and South Korea.
Each winter, several species of birds, especially cranes, spend time to rest and feed in the area, where there's little development and few people. Officials say more birds have been coming here because of depleted feeding grounds in the north.
Sichuan has wide plains suitable for growing rice. Cranes eat the grain that has fallen after harvest, and it's the best place for cranes because it's located north of the civilian control line.
A safe vantage point to photograph the wildlife is provided at the Hantan River near Yangji Village, attracting birders from far afield.
I left home at 4 in the morning to come here to photograph wild birds, swans and cranes. It's good because there are many mallard ducks and other birds. They fight for food with each other, but it's fun.
Cranes are considered a sacred symbol of longevity and fortune here and designated a national monument. Frank Smith, Cherwon County, South Korea.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Thirty-three lucky green sea turtles get a new lease on life in Indonesia. The turtles were released into the sea off the coast of the island of Bali. Tourists and locals gathered to watch the endangered animals get their way back to the wild. Authorities rescued the reptiles from poachers late last year. The population of green sea turtles has fell sharply in recent years due to excessive hunting and the loss of nesting sites. In Chile, three Andean condors are back in the wild after years of rehab at a rescue center. The vulnerable vultures were released near the Chilean capital, Santiago. Scientists will continue to monitor the birds to make sure they are healthy. Andean condors occupy a special place in Chile. They are, in fact, the country's national bird and a symbol of power and health. The vultures are one of the biggest flight-capable birds in the world, with a wingspan of up to 3.2 meters. Conservationists in several countries are trying to shore up their population.
In Germany, tasty bits of crumbs are all it takes for hundreds of sheep and goats to participate in the campaign to encourage vaccination against COVID-19. 700 farm animals were arranged into a 100-meter-long syringe in a pasture south of Hamburg. The shepherd says she spent several days practicing the herd. The sheep and goats were lured by pieces of bread, which they quickly gobbled up after being released into the field. Helping the shepherd was an organizer who works with a flock to run team training exercises for companies. He says they wanted to do something to grab people's attention and encourage them to get COVID jabs.
Well, if I were to just write it on Facebook, nobody would notice it. And my job is to have company teams leading some thousand sheep from A to B, and I have noticed how enthusiastically the sheep are received, and that it simply reaches people deep inside, which is perhaps not possible rationally, with rational arguments.
Etzold says sheep bring out the soft side of people and hopes that this will help convey the message. So far, the campaign has received a positive response with videos of the sheep arrangement going viral. Official data shows Germany has the lowest inoculation rate among Western European nations. This is mainly attributed to vaccination hesitancy, as well as a small percentage who vehemently oppose getting the jab. Technological change is accelerating today with robots and artificial intelligence making fast inroads into human lives. A consumer electronics show in Las Vegas is the latest example of the same. From lifelike baby dolls to full-grown human-like robots are on the display. They not only write, cry, laugh, and blink, but some of them speak and react when you tell them something. The most interesting thing about these robots is their reactions, which are just like humans, seeming as if they are real people. The robot makers say soon people will not be scared of these human-faced machines being among them.
Humans are so complex, so making a robot exactly like a human is almost impossible. If we did that, then you wouldn't be scared of it, because you'd just assume it's a human. But you get that uncanny valley just before where it doesn't quite move like a human, doesn't quite express itself or emote or talk like a human. And that's the uncanny valley. That's the scary bit. If you go further back to something that looks less like a human, then suddenly you like it a lot more.
The robot makers hope that the way these robots are made would help even doctors how to treat and confront children, for instance. They also hope that by adding more human characteristics to these robots, the machines will be at the service of humans more than before. Let's see what's happening in one of the world's oldest festivals. It's called Black and White Carnival, celebrated every year in the Colombian city of Pasto. But it has a lot more than what its name may suggest. The carnival, full of vibrant colors and fun, livens up when people perform music too. Those in attendance even threw talcum powder and foam to add more doses of joy. More things to visit too. Colorful monuments and floats are brought to the streets. An artisan explains what's behind one of the huge sculptures exhibited there.
This commemorates what we are going through right now in the world, the virus, that little thing that brought COVID. We have skulls, people who died, those who are reborn, children, old people, and a lady. That's the whole motif. It's called rebirth.
The event has roots in Spanish and African traditions related to the indigenous people of Colombia. The carnival is aimed at highlighting the diversity of ethnic and cultural backgrounds. Its name symbolizes unity and equality. The festival continues until January the 10th. A zoo in the Netherlands is celebrating the birth of a newborn manatee, a rare event among the endangered species, especially within the confines of captivity. The newcomer was born in a Royal Burger Zoo in a Dutch city of Arnhem. Zookeepers say the birth went smoothly, adding that this is the mother's second calf. The newborn is still too young for keepers to be able to determine its gender, but handlers hope it will be a female. That's because there are only 15 females in European zoos. Manatees are closely related to elephants and are sometimes called sea cows because of their herbivorous diet. These gentle giants are listed as vulnerable to extinction, mainly because of loss of habitat and collisions with boats.
Today's special.
عليكم.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا. رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam and salutations of Allah be upon all of you. You are listening to IRIB English Radio and this program today is special. I invite you to be with us. Our topic for today is the concept of divorce in Islam. Today, Sunday, is the 13th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 26th of day, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 16th of January, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's open Allah's book and read verses 226 to 227 of chapter
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم للذين يؤلون من نسائهم تربص أربعة أشهر فإن فاءوا فإن الله غفور رحيم.
For those who swear not to have sexual relations with their wives is a waiting time of 4 months. But if they return to normal relations, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful.
وَإِنْ عَزَمُوا الطَّلَاقَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ.
And if they decide on divorce, then indeed Allah is hearing and knowing.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
One of the methods that was customary in the age of ignorance for the separation of a husband from his wife was forswear. This method was also followed by those Muslims who had newly embraced Islam. At the age of ignorance, when a man displeased his wife, he sometimes took oath to abstain from associating with her, and by this unmanly way, he created a straitened circumstance for her. Neither he divorced her legally to make her free to marry with her desired husband and obtain her own wishes, nor he himself was ready to make peace with her and continue to live with her as a spouse. What's the topic of today's special? It is the concept of divorce in Islam. Be with us. Islam tolerates divorce and separation of a husband and wife under specific conditions. However, Islam regards divorce as abhorrent and reprehensible. Imam Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam cited from the Prophet of Allah, Gabriel commanded wives to such an extent that I presume divorce is not permissible unless a wife performs an explicit act of unfaithfulness and infidelity. Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, had stated, marry and do not divorce, because surely divorce shakes the very throne of Allah, Arsh. Islam holds divorce as an extremely ugly and vile act, which must be avoided within the bounds of possibilities, as it even rocks the very throne of Allah. Even though it has not been forbidden, for various reasons, it is severely commanded. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bin Asta'in. In this episode, our topic is going to be concerned with divorce in Islam. In all human communities, we find that there are, two phenomena that joins or disjoins two persons, male and female. Quite by way of making or dissolving a wedlock. The first one is marriage or wedlock, and the other one, the opposite of marriage or wedlock, is divorce. In this episode, we are going to talk about divorce. First of all, it must be noted that the fifth infallible Imam, Muhammad al-Baqir alayhi salam, related on the authority of the Prophet of Islam, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that the Archangel Gabriel made so frequent and important considerations and recommended many things regarding the right of wives and ladies, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam indicated that it seems that divorce wouldn't be legal or permissible unless in the case of, God forbid, committing any, for example, fornication, or, for example, getting involved in illegal relations and affairs. And at the same time, based on a piece of hadith related from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, who indicated it on the authority of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that the best home in view of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is where wedlock or matrimony or marriage is formed and made, and the most detestable home is where an instance of divorce can be found over there.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
Institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
As previous episodes of today's special, today too, we look at steps to an Islamic divorce, evaluate and try to reconcile. If after thoroughly evaluating your marriage, you find that there is no other option than divorce, there is no shame in proceeding to the next step. Allah gives divorce as an option because sometimes it is truly the best interest of all concerned. Nobody needs to remain in a situation that causes personal distress, pain, and suffering. In such cases, it is more merciful that you each go your separate ways peacefully and amicably. Recognize, though, that Islam outlines certain steps that need to take place both before, during, and after a divorce. The needs of both parties are considered. Any children of the marriage are given top priority. Guidelines are given both for personal behavior and legal process. Following these guidelines may be difficult, especially if one or both spouses feel wronged or angry.
As
a look to nature's beauty, dazzled am I, knowing everything calls on you, the Lord Most High.
Allah الذي يهدينا جميعا, Allah الذي نعتز به جميعا.
You're listening to IRIB English Radio. Today's special. This is the continuation. Tips to cope and move forward. Don't be hard on yourself. Dear brothers and sisters, perspective is important, especially when you're figuring out how to cope with divorce. If you're feeling guilt or shame about your marriage ending, remember that it takes two people to be in a relationship and two people to end one. Guilt and shame are common feelings that can arise during the stages of divorce. However, forgiving yourself might help you let go of any remorse or guilt you're harboring. It can be an effective way for you to move on with your new life. Regardless of who said or did what during the marriage, you need to figure out how to get through a divorce emotionally, or you'll never be able to move on from it. Forgive yourself. Give yourself the time and space you need so that you can begin the next phase of your life.
Subhanallah walhamdulillah.
Brothers, sisters, divorce is not going to end our problems. Sometimes divorce is rahmah, yes, from Allah. When you are stuck in a marriage that is abusive, when you are going through pain and agony every single day, however, sometimes divorce is certainly a mistake. And we live in a country, whether it's America or Canada, where family values are not a priority. And that is the truth. Family values, as marketed by one of the very famous companies, is adding a phone line, giving a smartphone to your family members for $9.99 or $20 a month, $30 a month, so that they all can text their friends and get on Snapchat and TikTok, even when they're sitting on the dinner table. So they look at the posts on their social media instead of spending time with their families. This is family values to them. I don't want to undermine, I don't want to disrespect anyone, but this is not the Islamic definition of family values. When you go to school from first grade to 12th grade, you never hear your teacher in public school tell you, you must respect your parents. Teach you about family values, tell you you must kiss the hands of your father and your mother, you must respect your elders, you must respect your older brother, and you must be kind to your younger brother. Family values are not mentioned in our books, in our schools. And today we live in an era where family itself, the institution of family itself, is targeted.
Dear friend, inshallah, we learn more about divorce, especially in the view of Islam, in the next episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Till then, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
What I've seen has been seen before, but it hurts just like a thorn, a pain I never felt before. My heart said, just speak the truth. Mine said, don't be a fool. I need to get something off my mind. Don't let this silence be misunderstood. I don't know where my heart will take me, but I know your life will protect me from this fragile world.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
Thank you. This is IRIB English Radio.